Are you guys as ready?
I'm ready when you are.
Okay, man.
Okay, man. Take it on the road,
man. It's Jimmy Doan's show. No intro today. We're just going to get right in because we got so much stuff to talk about.
It's been a while since we were here.
Yeah, it's been a while.
This is the July show.
Uh-huh.
So for those
it's better than the Hanger Dogs biannual show.
Wait, not the truth.
Which actually, the last show was a good show.
They talk about us a lot.
Yeah.
Which made it a good show. You know, I mean, let's face it. Jimmy has to go out there every once in a while, you know, and get on their show so they can have a bunch of hits. That's right. Yeah. Hanger Dog. That's right. Yeah, I noticed they use you guys as some of their sound effects. They use you and Counselor Curtis.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Well, we had some visitors, which surprised me. It's been a couple of weeks since we were on.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure what the deal is. We would have probably had a record month if we'd had 31 days, but we had a bunch of hits. It's like people are pinging us. Waiting for the show to come, right?
Well, of course they are.
Yeah, we did get a nice note from Bernie, our UK correspondent.
Hey, Bernie!
I say, Bernie, hello. And apparently he's telling all his buddies, because I noticed that that particular ISP is coming in on our pings from different locations. Either he's running around London or wherever he's from.
Yeah, here we got Slow UK. I don't know how to pronounce that, of course. Water Orton UK.
Well, that's from his website. I can help it.
Yeah. Well, people are coming in through that.
Yeah. Lamington.co.uk or something.
Yeah. Right. I can help it. Right. But Leicester. Mm-hmm. We have. We have another one for another one of our brothers from Sverige. Eh? Hur mår du? Goodbye now.
Hey, yes. Jack Rhodes
showed up. Well, by the way, the introduction's right. Jack Rhodes has made it.
Yeah.
Counselor Curtis is here.
Give
us an update
always
on the Supreme Court. Big doing. Engineer Eric.
Yep.
And DJ Laura's here.
Hi, everybody.
Hadn't even done announcements there.
That's right.
Introductions.
That's right.
Wow, I'm right on time as always.
Well, we did notice one thing, Jack.
Uh-huh.
Somebody actually did a search to find the Jimmy Doan Show, searched on your name. from Cleveland, Ohio. Somebody searched on Jack Rhodes. I thought that was great. Came up with you.
All right, Cleveland!
We did it.
I'm big in Cleveland.
Well, obviously big.
Of course, Jimmy is just kidding because that was just one person from Cleveland today. There's at least one person out there, you know, Googling Jack Rhodes on a daily basis.
Well, you're the one that's telling me that they Google, like, not Neil Bortz anymore, but they Google, like, strange things. We still come up number one.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they...
Strange things.
Well, no,
strange
I mean, they Google...
guests we've had on the show.
Guests we've had on the show, yeah. Right? I noticed this one.
I was going to say, pretty short lived.
They Googled Simba.
Like the poltergeist.
No.
He's been here many times.
But they did. They Googled Simba, and we came up number
one. Oh, he's famous.
Simba.
Yeah. He's a blue man.
Simba. Yeah. That's right, the blue man. That's right. We have Canada, of course. We've got Healy's Band. It was somebody.
Yeah, called
Jeff
the Healy's
Band.
No. Healy's Band from Disney World, a little roller coaster.
Roller
whatever.
Skates kind of thing.
And then somebody from Chile called up and wanted to know about Hurricane Girls. What's that about? Came in on
girls.
That.
Hey, yes. We got Lithuania.
Lithuania. I thought it was going to Murfreesboro. Hello, Murfreesboro. Woodbury, Tennessee. We got the usual crowd there. Quebec and Lithuania. Lithuania. And let's see what else was. That was about it.
Summerlin, right. British Columbia.
Well, hey, I have to say on my way in here, I crossed the path of a red lizard. Which I've heard is very good luck.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited about today's show.
It's good luck because he's running across like a bunch of money.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is that what it was?
Where was this? When you say you ran across it, you mean it ran over it in your car?
No. I'm walking up the path to the Jimmy Doan Palais.
That's right.
That we are in right now.
That's right.
Red lizard.
Actually, okay.
Right across. And I thought, hey.
Actually,
you know, black cat. No, red lizard.
That's right.
So, the incredible.
If you'd looked a little closer, you would have seen some money down there.
Ah.
No, I'm serious. I salt the earth down there with money. You know, grandma's been staying here.
Oh, you get grandma to bend over.
That's grandma's
she'll
exercise.
She'll pick up a penny from
away. No. And let me tell you, I salted the path.
Pathway.
It was great.
That's great. But I was a little disappointed, Jimmy, I have to say, because I came in with some garbage. And normally, you know, you enter the Jimmy Doan Palais here, and it's not really a big deal. You got a bag of garbage. Yeah, there's a couple bags of garbage already out there. But today, no.
Spotless, that's
spotless,
right.
Spotless, and I had nowhere to put my bag of garbage. So now, it's sticking out like a turd in a punch bowl on your counter in there. El bago de garbaggio.
Well,
de la jack.
That's what I have told people. I told the lady, don't clean up here. You know, and they came in and did it
she's
anyway.
She's not
well,
listening.
No, no,
fire her.
It was Mrs. Jimmy's fault. Mrs. Jimmy came in
here. Wires.
Mrs. Jimmy came in here and threw up, and she said, and she hired these people. I don't have anything to do with it.
Well, very good.
I got to. Did want to mention a couple of things real quick. Of course, 4th of July. Coming up soon. And interestingly enough...
Today's the second, if we didn't say that.
We weren't going to say. Yeah. Actually, this is the July issues. We're gonna, because we're so far ahead of the curve.
The third.
We're so far ahead of the curve that if somebody listens to the show on the 15th, it'll be news.
Absolutely.
That's the
you're
thing.
Preaching to the choir.
Yeah, that's right. So we did. Okay, but anyway, July 4th is coming up, and here in Gainstown, Hogtown, whatever it is,
G-ville.
They're going to allow us to have sparklers.
Woo!
Yeah, I mean, seriously, they...
Can we have matches, too?
No, matches apparently are okay, but what they said was it's illegal if it leaves the ground, leaves your hand, or leaves the ground, or goes boom.
Well, now, just here in Alachua County, I think, or because I've noticed that recently new firework shops that do have projectiles have opened up in Florida. So we'll have to go to the counselor here. The laws have changed.
No. In fact, they are one. You can buy Roman candles, bottle rockets, and everything here in Alachua County.
Right.
You're allowed to sell them. You're not allowed to use them.
Right. When you buy them, you have to sign a piece of paper, a contract that says you will not shoot them off in the state of Florida.
Oh.
It's the biggest pile of BS. I mean, this is a tradition that goes literally back to the Revolutionary War. That's when it started.
No, in fact, it goes back. Let me tell you. Let me tell you. It was John Adams. It was John Adams who said that when they did this, the Declaration of Independence, this will be celebrated every year with fanfare and fireworks. He said, in fact, it would be that way. Mm-hmm. And it has been.
Yeah. Here we go.
Yeah.
But I mean, can you imagine if you set off a bottle rocket around here, they will come, a SWAT team will come, and then the fireworks will really begin.
Yeah.
A lot of noise, and blood, but,
it's a lot more realistic. A lot more like revolution.
That's right.
It's like, you go to jail.
But I mean, it's stunning to me how they want to do the safety thing. Totally. Just in like Matrix, you know, in cocoons, whatever. They're punished. And I'll tell you, the most I've ever been hurt by a firework was on a sparkler when I was a kid. When I was 4 or 5 years old, because when they're done, they look like they're out. And if you pick it up,
they're not out.
Well, they're out, but they're still hotter than hell. And they will burn
phosphorus
your hand.
Burns hot. Man.
Yeah, that's right.
I was holding a whole bunch of sparklers one time, and somebody threw another sparkler, and it landed in my hand.
Well, I'm wondering if it's illegal to throw the sparkler.
Absolutely.
Because they said if it leaves your hand.
Oh, there's no question that's what they meant.
So, yeah.
Especially if you're throwing it at the police officer.
Well, this brings up another thing we might want to talk about. I don't have it on the list today, might want to talk about that. Is there was an article in Reason Magazine recently. It was, why shouldn't we own bazookas?
And no reason.
And no reason.
Right?
Well, one of the things.
Kablamo!
Exactly.
Well, you know, I just want let me. I want to back up just a second here to bring some history. I remember all four of us in this room many years ago during Halloween one time made as children, led by our leader Jimmy here, led us into making guns specific that looked like Star Wars Jawa guns. But they were designed to shoot. They were designed to shoot bottle rockets at each other,
and they worked.
And they worked very well.
Wait a minute, are you talking to Jimmy? Did this?
Jimmy,
I remember engineering.
Jimmy had his hand. Now we were none of us kids were running around complaining or anything.
No. Well, you.
We were saying, make my gun shoot five.
Take that, bang.
That's right. I want to be able to shoot five at a time.
Well, exactly. You know what? A Gatling bottle rocket gun?
Right.
Exactly. I remember the Gatling rocket.
Oh, my God.
So you can't do that anymore. You probably couldn't do that then.
You guys look so good in those little Jawa outfits. That was just, honest to God, with the little lights in your eyes.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I was running around. I ran around that day to Radio Shack and got all the little batteries and bulbs so that you could.
No, we're going back 30 years. Just saying. When he says little, they were little. Okay.
No,
we were all little.
No, it was, but you look just like right out of Star Wars. Honest to God, it was really cute. Anyway, the
bottle rockets and all.
But I remember when I was growing up, cherry bombs were still legal. And I remember blowing up my mother's
mailbox.
No, it was what I thought I'd try. One of the fun things to do, I think the reason they outlawed them was they were kids were taking them into school and they, because of Virginia, right? And they're flushing them down the toilet. And of course, you'd be surprised what an old pipe looks like when those things go off.
Yeah, yeah.
Water does not compress well.
No.
And so anyway, I filled up my mother's concrete wash sink in the basement and set one off. And of course, there was water. I mean, everywhere. The basement was flooded. Concrete everywhere. The whole deal. Mom comes home.
Jimmy!
Mom comes home, I said, geez, I don't know what happened.
I was washing a pair of socks down there earlier.
They stank bad, and they blew up.
You pointed to your best friend and said, George did it.
That's it. That's it. That's what I did. So anyway, always blame it on that guy. So anyway, let's move over to the. I'm going to start down the list here. Maybe you guys have read a little more about our friend Chocolate Ray here, New Orleans.
Oh, my favorite.
That's
my
right.
Favorite.
Well, we have.
Hold me back.
Hold you back. Start him up. Start him up. No, Jack, this is great. Have a Hugo update later on.
Hugo.
That's right. Hugo update. You don't like to get into that. But anyway, New Orleans levee repairs make matters worse. I love this. I mean, this is so...
Levee repairs.
No, here's a rule for the Jimmy listener. If you haven't heard the show before.
Knowledge.
There is no emergency. Nothing so bad, so horrible, that the government can't make it worse. There is nothing at all. And this is a classic.
That's our next T-shirt.
That's it.
Bumper sticker right there.
They can screw up. I mean, something that think it can't get any worse. Government program, but gets worse. And here it is.
Years of practice, Jimmy.
Oh.
Years.
Decades.
Of practice.
Centuries.
I mean, decades.
And
an unlimited supply of money to just F everything up.
And it's our money,
it's
that Star Trek where you get trapped in that thing and every time you try and get out, it gets stronger, you know? That kind
right,
of
right.
Episode 592.
Whichever one it was, I don't know. Right. They finally had to, what did they finally, nudge their way out or something? Or they paddled or something?
Tholian Webb.
Tholian Webb, yes! No. That was not the Tholian Webb.
Well, that was one, right, okay. There were several that had the same theme, but that is one that...
All right, come on now, look, I am going to K-Fest in 2 weeks.
Is that like K-Fest?
Right.
What is that?
K in Kansas City in 2 weeks. I'm going
Everybody
to.
Everybody does K.
In Kansas City.
The special K.
It's an Apple IIe thing, and we're gonna go totally retro. Jimmy's taking his pocket protector and his...
Dorkfest.
Well, yes, it is. And he's going to take his pocket protector and... His special Coke bottle glasses with the Band-Aid in the middle.
I was going to say,
tape
those glasses.
I mean, Jimmy Doan Fan Fest is what I meant to say.
No. I'm flying all the way to Kansas City just to do 1981 retro.
Well, this
Apple
is an
II.
Appearance, and I mean, they're flying you out there. Right?
Yeah, I wish.
Private jet, right?
Yes. Well, not
first
exactly.
First class. Got to have cashews only. Whole cashews only.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. That's right. And Jack Daniels. Okay. Year old. 10 minute old Jack Daniels. Okay. Anyway, New Orleans levee repair make matters worse. The things that I highlighted here, the possibility of heightened risk came as a surprise to many residents of the French Quarter. They thought that the levees were all going to... It turns out that by strengthening, this is so typical, by strengthening some of the levees, they have made it more probable that some other areas, when the failure comes, will fail. As if we lose them, gosh, New Orleans will no longer be New Orleans, Chapman said. As for the new threat posed by the Industrial Canal, Corps officials argue that there are other low and weak spots along the channel that might be the first to go, taking the pressure off the section near the French Quarter. So the beauty is, what we've done is we've built in a
really strong
built in a section over here that's going to break.
They're going to be wiped
out. They're
going to
be wiped up, but the French Quarter, by God, they'll be safe. It reminds me, of course, of this is so typical of the Army Corps of Engineers. I don't know if people remember this, but there was the great St. Louis flood several years ago. And what happened was the...
Several years ago. How long are we talking?
Maybe 15.
Okay.
And what happened was the Mississippi, or the upper Mississippi, started to rise. It was like up in North Dakota or something, wherever it starts up there in Ohio or something. And because of all the levees they'd built over the years, the surge just kept building and building and building and building. And it finally breached the levees. And St. Louis went like underwater. And the reason was that... Mother Nature had decreed, like the Nile, like in the Nile Valley, that once a year it's supposed to flood. And there's a whole bunch of farmland up there in the upper Mississippi area that for like a million years flooded, mm-hmm. and then one day it didn't, and then that's when they built, I mean, that's, that they built the dikes so that the farmers could. They did the same thing down here with the diking of around Lake Okeechobee.
The Everglades.
The Everglades area. And they're surprised.
They're always screwing stuff.
They're shocked and amazed when the
shock and awe when the
ecosystem started to deteriorate. People are living out there. The sugar industry, which never should be there in the first place, except they got like the Fanangio brothers or whatever.
The Fanhuls,
right? And what's his name? Bert?
Pepe. Oh, Bert Reynolds. Bert Reynolds?
Yeah. Okay. Remember with him?
Yeah, that's right. In that movie.
In the movie. I mean, it was like not fiction.
No.
That was
Fanhul is not fiction. That's right.
I know, but they changed the name to Fangil or something. They didn't hardly change it at all in the movie. Striptease.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So anyway,
right,
that's what they do.
Fanhul.
But an accompanying article to this New Orleans thing was largely alone, pioneers reclaim New Orleans. It turns out that the people that are actually making a go of New Orleans are not having any government assistance, thanks to the struggles of its most determined residents. But they've had to do so largely on their own because help from the government at any level has been minimal. And they've got something called the Road Home.
As it should be.
Right, exactly. That's the whole point. And all over the city, a giant slow-motion reconstruction project is taking place. It is unplanned, fragmentary, and for the isolated individuals carrying it out, often it says overwhelming. But, I mean, it can't be overwhelming because they're doing it, so it's whelming. It's whelming. It's just not overwhelming. I can understand that. Those with fortitude and to persevere, and only the hardiest even try. Of course, you know, who knows? I mean, big deal. Must battle the hopelessness brought on by a continuing sense of abandonment. Well,
I wonder who that is. Is what's Chocolate Ray saying about it? Are the
it doesn't say much.
Well, who are the strong? Is it the chocolate strong?
No. It's just the regular. No, there's some. If the selection, and I love this. The selection process has been Darwinian, with a combination of drive, tenacity, luck, and savings. The neo-colonizers, though. New sheetrock glimpsed through a window, often as not, was brought together with scraped together savings. I'm just keeping my head down, says Albert Felton, 76, a retired commander of Civil War. But I love this. What they're doing is they're doing this all on the radar. You know, they're sneaking off to Home Depot,
right.
You know, before they open kind of thing, getting a couple of things of sheetrock, coming home and fixing their place up. No inspectors, no nothing.
Well, I was going to say, they know the inspector takes Thursday off, and that's when they do the work.
Exactly.
And he comes back Friday and say, does something look different? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Right. I don't know. And so anyway, they now taking together the rebuilding activity in the once flooded neighborhoods points to a more hopeful future that might not have been thought possible a year ago. And I thought it was just when I'm reading this article, at the same time, whole blocks of the central business district remain lifeless. The poorest districts with tens of their thousands of inhabitants are still stuck outside New Orleans, seem abandoned.
Because those are the people that don't want to do it themselves.
Right. The downtown complex of hospitals is more of an official squabble over how to bring back an upstate legislators have plotted its relocation to another city, the hospital. But the point is that the city's port, the historic mainstay of the New Orleans economy, is years behind those in neighboring states in improvements.
Is it the second biggest port in the United States?
It's pretty damn big.
Is it behind L.A.? And that's it?
San Francisco's the biggest.
San Francisco is the biggest. New Orleans is the second largest port in the
United States. So anyway, nearly a third of the residents polled at the University of New Orleans survey released last month said it was very or somewhat unlikely that they would leave the city within 2 years. Of course, the population is down, you know, some a third off or something like that. It's down to around half a million from 450,000. One of the things that I did like about this, I don't have the exact numbers here, but
what'd you say? Down a half a million from 450?
No, it's down. Down a quarter of a million, roughly. It's down about 200,000.
Down 200,000.
It's down from roughly a half a million to a quarter of a million, roughly. It said
lost half. I mean,
almost half. Well,
did any of those people float away, or would they left?
Yes,
a few of them, right?
But I thought that one of the things that is interesting. I don't have the exact numbers here, and maybe it's in another article. Here it is. Crime surprisingly has stayed largely in the poor neighborhoods as that did not flood as badly. But the course of the course the mayor has set has been erratic, with a belated $1.1 billion rebuilding plan still unfinanced nearly 3 months after it was unveiled. Its author, a specialist brought in by Mayor Nagin to great fanfare late last year, has been bickering with a city agency who is to oversee the plan's enactment, assuming the money is eventually found for it. The Mr. Felton, who's this 79-year-old guy, retired mechanic, smiled slowly when asked how much money he got. He bent his index finger and thumb into a zero.
then he bent his middle finger into a tree-like structure.
That's right. When government
has a rigid upright position.
Here's the money quote here. When government has not been an obstacle to the rebuilders, that has rarely been a help. So this guy, one of these guys said did get some help. He said he apparently had been in the government before and knew his way around. So he got his money.
It's all you know.
Get out of the way, right. What I thought was interesting, and I don't have the exact statistics here, was when you ask the officials down there, the statistics, they give you one set, and then when the private person does the polling or the statistics, it's another entirely different set.
Well, it's set.
Surprise, surprise. So, you know, just what a shock that is to amaze that they put the rosy picture. So anyway, New Orleans is
Chocolate Ray's specialist wasn't really working out.
No, I'm afraid. So I'm done with that. Anything else on New Orleans? No. Okay. The next thing I did want to talk about was the Supreme Court.
Okay.
Now this was
SCOTUS.
SCOTUS, that's right. This was the bong hit for Jesus thing.
Right.
That's
right. We had a ruling on this recently. The Supreme Court came out against the guy who had the sign. Now, for those of you who haven't been following the whole case, what happened was there was a guy up in Alaska, wasn't it?
No, Washington State, wasn't it?
And, well, somewhere up there. Anyway,
And
he unfurls a sign that says bong hits for Jesus at...
There's a bong.
All right, well, you need to go back.
It wasn't the bells tolling?
I thought he hit something that made a bong sound.
Right.
He was a high school student.
Right.
The school had let them have
the day off to
go and view this parade that was coming through town. I believe it was for the Olympic torch.
Right.
Okay, so he wanted to get on TV as a joke, so he and a couple of his buddies held up a very large sign, we might add, that said, that's right, bong hits for Jesus.
Right.
You know, and of course he got some airtime or whatever. Yeah. And then
the principal
walks
across the street from the school.
Yeah, not.
And she runs over there and rips the banner down out of his hands. And
says you're promoting illegal drug use.
Right. They suspend him for 10 days. And of course,
he
sues, trying to get money from the teacher for infringing his free speech rights, and also to try to get his suspension overturned, or not overturned because it had already been served, but, you know.
Off his record, whatever.
Exactly. And he lost.
He lost, and he lost all the way to the Supreme Court.
Right.
And they said this teacher is fine, go ahead. No,
unbelievable.
Not free speech there.
Right. And the only issue that I have with that is that they went very far in their ruling. They basically said that the schools have the right to squash speech that contradicts with the message that the school is trying to send.
Boy, and I'll tell you, you're talking about going to...
Unbelievable.
Sitting at the lunch table and you're talking about bong hits for Jesus or something...
Bong hits are going down.
You could get suspended.
Unbelievable, folks.
Schools may prohibit expression that can be interpreted as advocating drug use. Chief Justice Roberts wrote it for the court in a 5-4 ruling.
Right.
I'm Nancy Grace, and this is unbelievable, folks. I can't believe it. Do you see what is happening here, folks?
But, I mean, Principal Morse thought the banner would be interpreted by those viewing it as promoting illegal drug use.
Yeah,
and that interpretation is plainly reasonable. But, I mean, I'm thinking, well, really? I mean, it's a reasonable ban statute, whatever.
It's reasonable, but then they made a ruling that he was, in fact, at a school event, and that the teacher was there supervising that, and the principal... And that,
yeah, it was kind of like almost like a road trip or what we used to call them when you hop on the school bus and go someplace. Field trip, right?
What was that?
Little mouse book.
I know
there.
Something.
So,
what scared the shit out of me there?
Did we hear
a field trip?
The words field trip from the field mouse.
We love it. Keep it going, DJ.
Yeah, boy, I'll tell you, she's in there. Great.
Just scared the shit out of me that time. Now if I see it coming, I'm good. Okay,
so this really went too far. It's unfortunate. There was a dissent, it was a 5-4 decision.
So not exactly unanimous there.
No.
And not only that, what gets me about this is on these 5-4 decisions, they call them narrowly decided. And, you know, if somebody wakes up on the wrong side, well, not so much anymore now that Sandra Day is gone, but I mean, Ruth Bader, well, she's a committed liberal, so that doesn't matter. But, I mean, if somebody gets up on the
You never know, though. I mean,
you know,
if she
got a bad back or something,
up,
they could go 5-4 the other way.
And if Ginsburg, you know, if she woke up and she'd just smoked all her pot that day, you know, she was out of pot, she might have been a little grumpy.
Yeah. Well, now let me tell you, just talking about free speech, of course, they ruled on another thing. Okay. And that was the McCain-Feingold business.
Ah, right.
This was the...
fairness
this,
doctrine?
Well, actually, this was the Wisconsin Right to Life versus the Federal Election Commission.
Mm-hmm.
Did you read? This was also a 5-4 decision, and this was a victory, quote-unquote, for free speech. What happened?
Jenner!
Wait a second. That yeah. That always scares me. When who's saying it's a victory?
Well, let me tell you, this was interesting.
McCain?
No. They were upset about it, because what happened was... The McCain-Feingold says that 30 or 60 or whatever it is, corporations not allowed to do electioneering, depending on what the deal, either 30 or 60 days prior to the election. And what happened was the
not only corporations, if you or any of your friends get together,
well,
and
that's,
get money together.
That's what this was.
Right.
The Wisconsin Right to Life people apparently were like a nonprofit organization,
and you couldn't run an ad.
Well, they ran what they thought was an issue ad. That is to say, they didn't mention anybody win or lose, but they apparently. Somebody got PO'd and thought it was against somebody who was right to life or pro-life or against life
Which
or whatever.
Which could be reasonably assumed.
Right, right. So the bottom line is they ran this thing, and it was interpreted by at least one of the people running in the election that it was against them. So they sued after the election and said, you know, you can't do this sort of thing, McCain-Feingold. We want the Wisconsin Right to Life people to pay a big fine or something like that.
Right.
Well, they won. It turns out that in another 5-4 thing, the majority ruled, as Roberts puts it, where the First Amendment is implicated, the tie goes to the speaker, not to the censor.
Ooh.
The McCain-Feingold blackout period before elections cannot be applied to such groups as the Wisconsin Right to Life. That was the way the thing. Now, the New York Times got all bent out of shape, and they said it opened a big new loophole in time to do mischief for the 2008 elections, paves the way for the return of sham issue ads, just as the 2008 campaign is heating up, which is, I think, is interesting. Here we are halfway through 2007, and not looking at an election for, you know, a year and a half or whatever, and the 2008 campaign
it's
is
full throttle.
Full throttle. Well, what I find interesting about this, and I thought was, I don't have the exact thing here, but apparently... Scalia or somebody, there was some in the concurrings and the dissents. The justices are not exactly the congenial lot that they used to be. They are slamming each other in there, even in a concurring opinion. You know, Scalia's coming along saying,
"Your worst, you filthy, pretentious savages."
That's exactly right. I mean, it's just amazing. He's, you know, slamming these guys for Scalia's coming along saying, "You didn't go, you wimp. You didn't go far enough. You should have just overturned the whole damn thing." You know, you.
Well, this, you know. First of all, campaign finance is just a boondoggle from the get-go.
It always has been. From day one.
It is just a structure in place designed to shift the votes one way or the other, no matter how you slice it down.
Liberal scumbags.
Everybody should realize that you can't buy an election with your advertising. Steve Forbes knows it now. Donald Trump knows it. Ross Perot knows it.
And Michael Bloomberg is going to find out.
He's going to find out. You got to have substance behind your advertising. And so there's really no need for all this micromanaging of all of the campaign finance. And this is this paragraph that they had in here, paragraph 203 or 207 or whatever it was. It literally was. It was one of those oh crap paragraphs. Like, oh, they didn't actually put that in there, did they? Yes, they did. In fact, there was going to be a prohibition against basically political speech all over the place within 30 days of the election if it had to do with anything on either side. And so
what gets me about it is that the freedom of speech thing, if anything, was designed to allow for political free speech.
Right.
Now, you were supposed to be able to slam the crap out of your opponent up to and including the election day.
Hello, 4th of July, freedom, 1776.
Yeah, no, you know what, 4th of July is just obviously a beach day down here. That's all it is.
Day off work.
I don't know if you know, because it comes on a Wednesday this year. Some people started their 4th of July holiday last Friday.
Heck yeah.
It's 10-day. It's more than Christmas.
Yeah.
But anyway, of course, what happened was, previously with the McCain-Feingold, it led to the creation of all those 527 groups. Which were secret groups, Soros and all those people funded this stuff and put billions into there.
MoveOn.org.
Yeah, exactly. Those were all. So the question now, David Broder, who is called the dean, he is the dean of Washington columnists. He's been writing for the Washington Post for 100 years at least, And everybody respects him for some reason. I'm not sure why, but being brought up in Washington and understanding the way where his bread is buttered and so forth, I thought the conclusion of his editorial, his op-ed piece here was interesting. His column, two approaches remain open to cure the problem. He says two approaches remain open. A carefully drafted constitutional amendment could certify Congress's right to some form of campaign finance regulation. Number two, more realistically, a system of public finance, taxpayer-subsidized campaigns would enable candidates to cope with the inevitable intrusion of outside voices into their races. And I mean, this to me is so unbelievable that a guy this supposedly wise would come up with two solutions, both of them big government solutions to a non-problem.
The U.S. Constitution.
Yeah, they want to amend the Constitution to give Congress the ability to manage who gets to say what. So they basically want to have a constitutional amendment superseding the First Amendment.
Right.
The First Amendment.
Yeah, sorry.
Let's not get that one wrong. Yeah, I don't think they got it wrong.
And then the public finance, of course, is the biggest joke in the world. I mean, you can't imagine the unintended consequences that would come along with something like that. I mean, it is stunning to me that the guy like David Broder would have a column July 1st of this year and have that as the... It's just, well, it's not stunning. I mean, it's in Washington, again, government problems for government solutions for government problems. And it's just stunning to me that he doesn't realize that what they should do is ashcan the whole goddamn thing.
Yep.
Let the market figure it out. It'll work out. Yep. And the last sentence, as always, this is David Broder speaking. As long as the candidates are not drowned out, those other voices should be welcomed in our democracy, not deplored. That's what the Roberts decision is saying. Well, you can say what you want. I'm saying drown them out. Who cares?
Well,
I mean, that's what it's all about.
These days, your information can get out there.
It does, especially these days. Especially these days.
Well, and that's what needs to happen too. They need to keep it going and just show them that it's not gonna. This isn't gonna.
Well, it isn't gonna work. Well, let me put it this way. I don't care what they do. The simple fact is, here's the deal. Money buys everything. You've got almost $3 trillion, soon to be $3 trillion, funneling through Washington D.C. They could pass a law tomorrow that said no campaigning allowed to anybody, no congressman allowed to accept a penny, not allowed to do it, no campaigning. You just go, and I'll tell you right now, there would still be, the campaigns would still cost $1 billion.
No question about it.
No question about it. You cannot do it. It would be the black market of campaigning. You just can't imagine. It could be a SWAT team,
secret,
criminal,
double secret, overseas.
Doesn't matter. Yeah, exactly. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. They are not going to squash it off. It cannot happen. Will not happen, and it is a fool's errand. Again, as I said at the beginning of the show, there is not a problem so severe that the government can't make it worse. Yeah. And David Broder, God bless, Dean of the Columnists in Washington, D.C., doesn't get it. His solution, two each one, big government solution.
So dumbass David, that's Jimmy at jimmydoe.com.
That's right.
And we'll be back after the break, unless you want to...
Yeah, we take a quick break, and then we'll come back.
All right.
Thanks for listening to part one of the July 2nd, 2007 Jimmy Doan podcast.
I'm free. I'm free. And I'm waiting for you to follow me. I told you what it takes to reach the highest. You'd laugh and say nothing's that simple. But you've been told many times before, Messiah's pointed to the door. No one had the guts to leave the temple. I'm free. I'm free. And freedom takes of reality.
Political rhetoric escapes you and logic ties you up and rapes you, just say, Gimme Jimmy.
Homer, a man who called himself You Know Who, just invited you to a secret wink-wink at the You Know What. You certainly are popular now that you're a stone cutter.
Oh, yeah. Beer bust, beer blast, keggers, Steinhoist, AA meetings, beer night. It's wonderful, Marge. I've never felt so accepted in all my life. These people look deep within my soul and assign me a number based on the order in which I joined.
Who controls the British crown? Who keeps the metric system down? We do. We do. Who keeps Atlantis off the maps? Who keeps the Martians under wraps? We do. We do. Who holds back the electric car? Who makes Steve Gutenberg a star? We do, we do. Who robs tapish of their sight? Who rigs every Oscar night? We do.